하루하루 감금만 하던 수이상 그런 바라보티 바티만 하던 수이상 그런 Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. I cannot believe it is the end of 2021 and we are going into 2022. This feels so surreal because I feel like we're still in 2020 in so many ways. However, so much has happened and shifted and grown. I mean, when I think about the beginning of this year, it feels like seven lifetimes ago was when my book, Discover Your Dharma, first came out. And since then, I've launched Dharma Coaching Institute. We've had two classes come through, relaunched Rose Gold Goddesses, and have created and channeled so many things. My first year living in Miami, making new friends, traveling. And in so many ways, we are still in this great unknown. And, you know, so many parts of the world are going back into lockdown. And it feels like time has sort of collapsed. In some ways, we are quantum leaping. And in other areas or other areas of the world that might not be in our lives and in our controls, it feels like we're going around in circles. So we have collectively gone through such a profound experience in 2021, which we really dive into in this episode. One of my best friends, Cassandra Bodzak, who you've heard on the podcast before, this is actually now an annual ritual because last year we did together a Greatest Lessons of 2020 episode. And now we wanted to talk about what we learned in 2021, it being a very different year than 2020. I would say a lot more grounded for the collective. However, still definitely far from normal. So in this episode, we speak about the many lessons learned, some of those including really focusing on our dharmas and giving up the need to figure out what's happening in the world around us or only experience peace when the world is feeling peace. The groundedness that happens when sometimes you kind of just step into your work and you see yourself propelling your energy and moving forward. Coming face to face with people-pleasing tendencies, and also an interesting concept we talk about of being a people-pleaser to the universe, and how sometimes, especially as spiritual people, we look for a sign or we give up our power because a psychic told us something or a tarot card reader or whoever else, rather than activating our free will. And we each share kind of where we are at in our own spiritual journeys. And for myself, of really opening up my perspective to not knowing what is true and seeing that truth is so relative and that everyone really chooses their own story. And whatever story you choose, that will be the truth for you. So this is a deep and profound episode, as well as a light and playful one of two friends talking. And you are the third person in the room. And I'm really curious what your greatest lessons are. Share a post on Instagram of your greatest lessons of 2021 and tag me. I would love to read it and I would love to reshare them because it really takes cultivating that awareness of the little micro and macro lessons that we've learned. And when we honor them for what they've given us, it allows us to complete that cycle and move forward with greater clarity, alignment, and of course, joy. So without further ado, let us welcome Cassandra Bodzak to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, I am so excited to announce that doors are opening back up for Rose Gold Goddesses, My Divine Feminine Mystery School. This is beyond a mystery school, but this is a community where we gather every single month to dive deep into different spiritual workshops, including some of your favorite Highest Self podcast guests, including Shaman XL, BB, Cassandra Bodzak, Amber Valdez, and so many others sharing their potent wisdom with you in a closed container that really transforms you from the mind, body, and spirit level. And I'm beyond excited to announce that we are planning an in-person weekend retreat here in Miami exclusively for our Rose Gold Goddesses members. So if you love the podcast and you wish you could connect with people who also listen to it and dive even deeper into the different wisdom and practices that you learn here and actually integrate them into your life, well, if you're feeling the call, then Rose Gold Goddesses is for you. Head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com.
That link is in my show notes to join our waitlist for when doors open back up just for 1 week this January. And this is your only chance to join. So make your new year a year of ease, flow, joy, expression, intuition, and creativity, and channel your highest self with a community of aligned queens and rose gold goddesses. Again, head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com to join our waitlist. And I'm so excited to see you inside and hopefully meet you at our in-person retreat in Miami. Welcome back, Cassandra, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Oh, it's so lovely to be here.
Our returning guest. And the first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
What makes me my highest self? My meditation practice makes me my highest self. And just connecting back to the truth of who I am is what helps me show up that way.
So good. So 2021, a year of lessons, a year of learnings, a year of revelations. You know, I was just thinking of this year and simultaneously feels like so long, but also like, I feel like it was just 2020 and now it's 2022. How has the time felt for you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like it's like a bit of like, it's like the Bermuda Triangle of a year. Like it just like kind of like disappeared and went in and went out. And at times it was like, is it ever going to end? I actually, you know, I was talking with one of my clients. We were talking about this, where 2021, I think, had this really interesting energy because, and 2020, all of us had like a collective understanding, this year is a mess, right? We all were like, oh my God, like this is just like a doozy of a year, right? And so I think there was a collective understanding of like being like really gentle with yourself and kind of just everyone's navigating, you know, their own way and trying to figure out this like new thing that all of us are jumping into with the pandemic. And then 2021 was kind of like a sneaky little year in a way that we had already been through 2020, but in so many years, 2021 was just as funky on like a larger collective way, right? And so one of the things that came up in my practice this year a lot was remembering to have that similar compassion that a lot of us intuitively had in 2020, being like, we're in unprecedented times, we're in uncharted territory. And then it was almost like, you know, the clock struck midnight in 2020, we're in 2021 and everyone's fine. And we're all supposed to be fine. And, you know, 2021 was also really, you know, transformative and eventful here and deserves that same. You know, I feel like now we're just like, we are in unprecedented times. We are in the uncharted territory. Like that's just what it is going forward.
So true. I remember we had this conversation last year and we were talking about how at the beginning of the pandemic, there were like two schools of thoughts. And it was like, take this time to rest. These are really overwhelming times. Nourish yourself. You don't need to work. You don't need to be productive. Like, why are people telling you this? Like, this is the sick capitalistic culture. Just relax right now. And then the other school of thought was like, take these like 2 weeks or 1 month or 2 months, and kept going longer and longer to like get ahead and like get your book proposal done and like launch the dream business of your life and like change everything forevermore. And it was like these two polar extremes. And it's interesting to me because it's like, I think we all thought at the beginning that this lockdown would just be a period of time, 2 weeks, a month, have a finite date and things would be back to normal. And obviously that's not the case. This is the quote unquote new normal, which has never even existed in the first place. And I think neither of those sides were totally true. You know, if you're just like, oh shit, like the world is freaking out right now, so let me hang out at home and like take a nap and like comfort eat because this is too overwhelming. Guess what? You'd still be doing that right now. But also if you thought that this was just going to be a little stretch that you could like sprint and kind of go past your limits because it's just for a little bit of time and then you're going to be ahead and then you'll be able to calm down. That's also a lie because guess what? You might launch the business. Now you have to manage the business. Now you have to get clients for the business. It never really ends. And I think what it really has shown us, and I remember at the beginning of 2021, there were these memes of like the world on fire with explosions in the sky and this girl hanging out on the beach. And it's like me during 2021, unbothered. And it's really that lesson of, can you be in your own element, in your own dharma, focusing on what you're here to do and shift, even when the world feels like it's going crazy, because guess what? It is. And I think so many of us learned how to not let that overpower us and how to stop checking the news and looking at the world outside of us and waiting for peace, for us to feel internal peace. And now we've sort of made peace in knowing that, like, I'm never going to know if there's another variant or if there's another civil war or whatever is going on, but I can focus on what is in my control. So I think a lot of us, like, we have faced adversities that we never thought we would have imagined. If someone told us at the beginning of 2020, 2 years later, this will still be going on, we wouldn't have been able to handle it. And it's shown us that things that at one point seemed so overwhelming are now just like, meh, like normal for us.
Yeah, no, we have actually like grown and adapted, and our psyche has grown and adapted. And I agree. I think it's a huge lesson has come is like our, it's funny because I'm writing something right now. And one of the things that I wrote, one of the affirmations was my peace is my power. You know, my power is in my peace. And that's like what, when you were saying it, and that's what that reminds me of, is that I always say that, you know, if we're here, because the, I don't know, kind of surface level argument to that would be like, oh, well, if you're just living in your island, like how are you taking care of the world, right? But that's actually BS, because if you allow yourself to get in, like there's that saying, I forgot, this is a famous saying. It's like, you can never be poor enough to help the poor, right? It's like, no, you can't get into the chaos to fix the chaos. You have to be the piece to be able to look at things, to be able to be an effective person. I mean, I think that's something that I learned like during my spiritual awakening was huge, because it was having to do with like my brother's like health crisis. I knew intuitively in that moment, and it was like kind of the cracking opening of my spiritual awakening, was that if I want to be a good sister, if I want to be a helpful family member, if I'm going to be someone that can like show up and like shepherd whatever is ahead of us in this like unknown, kind of uncertain, upsetting time, I need my peace. I need my meditation. That's what brought me to my meditation practice and like spirituality. And, you know, the world, you know, situation right now that we're all living through is exactly that. It's like a massive scale of that, right? And I think so many more people are awakening to that, that if I want to show up in whatever way I'm called to show up in the world, whether it's in my personal life or it's on a bigger scale, I have to be sovereign of that crazy energy. I have to focus on my peace. And I think we also learned, you know, I remember there was like that very divided thinking of what we should all do with our quarantine time. And I think we learned, like, we're not like, that's just not like, we're not one dimensional as humans. So it's never going to be that cut and dry. It's never going to be that easy. And I think we're definitely running a marathon, not a sprint here in life in general, but even in the context of the pandemic, it's like, this is a marathon. And in anything in life, it's like there are going to be ebbs and flows, and there's going to be, and that's where the spiritual path comes in. That's where tuning into your intuition comes in, because there are going to be times where, yeah, you're like, you know, the thing I really need to do is gather. I need to, like, you know, be with people I love, and I need to take it slow, and I need to do things that bring me joy, and I need to read or whatever it is. And then there are other times when you're like, I'm super inspired and I want to launch the business and I got to do this and I'm going to write a book, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just allowing yourself to trust those ebbs and flows. And just because, you know, I think the hardest thing sometimes is like the people around you, if it's your friends or your family, right? It's like, just because someone else is in a different season doesn't like disqualify yours, right? Like, you get to, you know, honor whatever your truth is, and then you'll, it all always ebbs and flows anyway.
So true. I love that so much. And yes, I think peace is the greatest flex. And that's the thing. I had this realization. It was like, honestly, it was the end of 2019, but I had so much going on that I'm like, I just want peace. Like, what would bring me peace? And I feel that so many of us have had that similar realization that every morning I wake up, I read this poetry book, and it's all about being the peace. I'm like, yes, this is it. And I'm like, okay, now let me launch a million things. Oh, but be the peace. At the same time, so for me, especially when the pandemic first hit, I really gave up my power in the fact that I was checking the news all the time. I was trying to be on top of political conversations and I burned myself out doing that. So after 2020, I was like, I'm not throwing myself into the pit or trying to figure out who's being canceled and why and like, what can I do to not be canceled? And like, I'm out of the woke culture situation. And 2021, my saving grace, honestly, was my business because it allowed me to funnel my energy and focus in something else that was actually doing something. And I realized it was almost like I really just wanted to be of service. I really wanted to help. And I thought the way of doing so was to be part of all of these different conversations on the society and politics and this and that. And I truly realized and saw firsthand, because this year for me was a year of a lot of launching. My book came out in January, which feels like a lifetime ago. I can't believe it's this year. What? My book came out in January. Then I hit the ground running, creating Dharma Coaching Institute, then launching Dharma Coaching Institute in March, then revamping everything of Rose Gold Goddesses, changing the branding, changing the structure, launching that in July, then changing all the structure of DCI, relaunching it again in October. And it was just like one thing after the next. But this year, it felt good doing that. It felt like this is my haven. This is where I can get creative. This is where I can focus on things. And it made me realize just how important it is to have a purpose, because it's like you can be in a conversation around the state of the world, but then like sometimes getting on a Zoom call and just like talking about work, it feels very grounding and it brings a sense of like normalcy and a sense that like my energy is actually making a change in things, that I'm so grateful that I was putting my energy towards launching rather putting my energy towards things that I would have never seen a reward from. And it also allowed me to see the greatest way that I can change people's lives is actually by me living my Dharma, not about repeating the exact same conversations that everyone else is having. And I think a lot of us, especially that when it came to the mandate conversation, that became another big point of division. And I just like stayed out of it because again, it's just like, you're never going to change someone's mind. And the fact that your ego thinks you can is part of the problem. So just like focus on your Dharma, you do you, and let people make their own decisions.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, I was watching a thing the other day. I was talking about kind of the arts and how important the arts were in different times of like war and famine and like different like critical times in history, how people look to the arts. And that was like in a way, like a medicine for their soul, right? A way for them to have, you know, a different outlet, you know, where they could kind of, you know, escape or ponder what was going on, but in a different way, you know, in a different light. And I see so much of that. I think one of I'm glad to see, I think it's coming back a little bit more, but one of the things I was really sad to see was when it kind of felt like the blogger, Instagram, podcast, online audience or whatever, that was so beautifully diverse with all of these different, you know, someone maybe that loves doing like crocheting, another person that's zero waste, another person that's making, you know, macaroons, another person that does pottery, like this beautiful, diverse, like artsy space where people really just expressing whatever their little thing was, home organization, right? Like making their kids baby food, right? It was like, we kind of, you know, we had this like moment where there was all these like beautiful kind of like niche-y artsy things going on. And then I feel like there was almost this pressure and this push the past couple years to be, like you said, like almost, it was like everybody wanted now these people just because they had amassed a following doing whatever it was, you know, whether it was woodwork or making their furniture or whatever, you know, to be news anchors. And you know, I think I feel really strongly about that too. It's like people come to you for the medicine that you're here to deliver, right? And, you know, whatever that medicine is, I mean, think about, you know, when we first went into quarantine, everyone was like baking banana bread and like doing the cooking and stuff like that, right? Like all these people that were like bread makers and like doing things like that, all of a sudden, like that was like their moment. Right? That was their moment. Like we needed them in that moment. And they brought so much joy into people's homes through like teaching them how to make sourdough bread or whatever it was. Right? And so I think it was just also just a real example. And I agree with that completely of just when you're like the gift and the medicine that you're here to give the world, it's not an accident that we all have like very diverse talents and dharmas and passions, right? And we all have different medicine that we get to give that has our own unique spin on it. Yeah, I think that's really, really important. I think that's also been why, you know, your book and the Dharma Coaching Institute has been so big this year and so attractive to people, because I think more than anything, when we go through these times, and that was one of the things I wrote down for 2021 too, really getting clear on your purpose and what lights you up and what brings you joy is huge at any point. I personally think I've always been a big, big believer in that. But I think definitely when you're facing adversity, when you're in these kinds of volatile times, when there's so much fear and there's so many different things that's so easy to get distracted by, to be able to anchor yourself to that and to feel like you can do something about it. I definitely agree with that as well. I think my coaching practice, Divinely Design Your Life, I also had a book come out this year, Manifesting Through Meditation. And so I was writing Manifesting Through Meditation earlier in the beginning of the year. And that was so anchoring for me. It was so, you know, to really come back and be like, wow, there are really powerful tools I have to help people. Yeah, I think that was really, I think more and more people are waking up to that now, that having that purpose and allowing that to be, it's such a grounding force during any volatile times in your life, I've found. Mm.
Absolutely. And how, yeah, each person's purpose is so needed. And I think the beauty of this pandemic is we've all collectively slowed down. I mean, this time is called the Great Resignation because the highest number of people have resigned from their jobs, not because they've needed to, but because they've realized, oh, I can work from home. Oh, I can do something that's actually in alignment with who I am and what I enjoy. Oh, there's more to me than just like going to the office, hitting a workout class, going to happy hour, coming home exhausted, which like so many people were just in that grind. They didn't know who they were outside of it, that I think everyone's consciousness actually increased from taking this time to slow down. And it also has created this need of like, oh, I actually do want to learn how to watercolor or make my own pottery, especially people doing things for themselves. Gardening has been a huge thing this year, just like all things DIY. I think a lot of people realized how dependent we are on, you know, these different supply chains. And with the supply chain slowing down, we're like, oh, why don't I make my own shampoo instead of continually buying it? Oh, by the way, what was in that toxic shampoo I was buying? Oh shit, like cancer producing products, like, thank goddess, I can do it myself. So I think it's like this beautiful, like grounding force energy that happened this year. And totally, I think one of my biggest lessons too is you can create so much when you really focus on something. So I realized that before, maybe with just the amount of options we had in terms of like events and things going on, we were all a bit more scattered. But to really focus on something and give it your all, like my businesses, like my dance practice, I realized how I took strides ahead this year that could have taken me years and years to do simply because I was focused. And I see with so many of my students as well, by them focusing on not a million things, because I think about the shadow side of this year where us maybe signing up for too many courses, too many, you know, different projects and not finishing them, but by being in a container of something and how much you can grow with that undivided devotion.
What do you think? Do you think it was just simply the fact? Because I think this year we've gotten that now like events are kind of like coming back in a way, some in person, but a lot also just like Zoom events are like blossoming as well. Do you think it was the fact that it's not as busy as it was in general before, you know, this, or were there specific things that you feel like you did differently now to keep that focus?
I think we're a lot more aware of how we spend our time and energetically how we feel in different situations. Like I've had so many conversations with people like, Dude, I went to the grocery store and it was frantic in there. Like, how did I used to like go all the time? Well, like you can feel like the chaos in different places. So I think, I mean, for better or for worse, I think it's made us a lot more of much more of home buddies that were like, I want to be in an environment that feels good to me, that's of my vibration. And for most of the people listening to this podcast, it's of a higher vibration that we're like, no, I'm not going to go to some random networking event in case I like might meet someone that might help my business. Like, that's not worth it for me. What's worth it for me is for me to feel good and to feel comfortable. And at the same time, I think one of my other big lessons is also that nothing replaces human connection, including the metaverse. And, you know, I don't think we could have seen, I mean, I guess we've watched a lot of scary movies and the metaverse is in all of them. So guys, watch The Matrix in case you're wondering how this might go. But I think it really showed us that also nothing replaces human connection, but doing it in much more intentional ways that feel good the whole time, rather than like, I need to like sacrifice and feel uncomfortable and like feel a little bit like markety to meet people. I think that era is completely done.
Oh yeah. I definitely, you know, I agree with that on so many aspects. I think absolutely, we're all getting more attuned to energy because we've had more time alone in our own energy. And so it's making us more aware of how different things make us feel. And then I agree with that completely. You know, one of the biggest things that happened for me, and you were a part of this during all this, was all my friends moved away. And, you know, so many people scattered and went to different places. And, you know, I have a couple friends still here. Like, I have no friends here, but a lot of my close friends are on the other side of the country, right? Like you. And I have friends in New York, Miami, and Austin. Like, they scattered all over. But one of the cool things I think that has come from that is that now when we get together, even though maybe it involves us flying to different places or us whatnot, we spend like more concentrated, more intentional time together. Where I think if you, before when things were a little bit more accessible and maybe you were going to events and things like that, I've never been someone that really liked those kinds of like networking events anyway. So I'm grateful that most of them are gone. But you know, it's true. It's like actually getting to spend that time. And one of the cool things has been, you know, for me too, because it has been a little like here in California, it goes in and out of what's socially acceptable or not. It's been more acceptable for me to say to people, hey, why don't we like meet on Zoom for a tea? Right. And while that's not the same as human, like being face to face, and I definitely love face to face the most, I would prefer to meet someone over a Zoom tea than to meet them in like a crowded networking environment, because now I actually get to go deeper with them. Now I actually get to know them and ask them real questions and not feel like I have to just kind of like do some, you know, chatter at like a big event where there's like music playing and all these distracting things going on. You know, I think it's definitely shifted the way we connect and helped us really, I think all of us cherish in-person connection way more than ever before.
So true. Like for us, we both lived in LA and then you moved to OC and, you know, you'd come for a day. But now that I live in Miami, it's like you got to come here and spend a few days in Miami. We're going to the Bahamas together. Like we're hopefully going to go to France together for your wedding. Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah. You know, and yeah. It allows us to be intentional in planning and creating an experience that like we're going to be, you know, like we hadn't had a sleepover like all of LA because it was like you had a place and I had a place. And so why would we? Whereas now it's like, if I'm going to see you, I'm going to be seeing you for a few days at a time. So it's like, you know, late at night, we'll have a conversation about this random thing and actually be able to drop in on a deeper level because it's like a longer continuous, basically retreat when we hang out. We're like, time for breath work. Okay. Time for journal prompts. Like, but we get to do that with each other, which is amazing. And I don't do that with
our sleepovers are exactly what people who listen to this would probably imagine our sleepovers.
Like we could sell a spot to our sleepover. We like wake up or like, what is your intention for today? Okay, time for Mormoning movement. But first, make sure to put some Mucuna in your tea. Like
It's so good. It is. Pete jokes that, he's like, oh, you're going on a little retreat. I'm like, it's not a retreat. I'm hanging out with the girls. He's like, what you guys do is like a retreat.
Yes. I love that. And it's like so fun and it's so intentional. And, you know, with every person, I think it also showed you who are the people that are willing to plan ahead and to leave their state and to, you know, like when you set a plan and ahead, there's an element of sacrifice that comes with that. And like for some friends, it's not going to withstand the distance. In fact, for the majority of, at least for my friendship, I would say most friendships, they don't withstand the distance because it's like a relationship. You got to plan ahead. You got to get on calls. Like we just did a 4-week class together. So like, even though we weren't one-on-one hanging out, I got to see you in this class and it like provided us with a new experience that we get to talk about. So, you know, I think it, again, 2020 definitely showed us who our friends were, but then 2021 is just a whole new added layer that like when life starts to pick up again, who are the people who are still willing to go that extra mile for you?
Absolutely. And yeah, I think that, you know, one of the other things I think that piggybacks on both that like the friendship element and the like purpose and work element for me was, you know, I think, and not to take us in like a kind of a different direction, but one of the things that was really impactful for me this year was my grandmother passing away. And, you know, my grandma was really, really close to me and she was like a mother to me, and her passing like rocked me so deeply and still is such a thing that I am like, I live with on a regular basis. But on a collective basis, so many of us have seen grief, right? We've had loved ones pass. You had your grandfather pass this year as well. You know, we've seen, even had mutual friends who were, you know, going through health things at different points, right? That were pretty scary. And I think as a collective, whether, you know, in what capacity, whether it was like my grandma's passing wasn't related to COVID or anything like that, it was a different thing, but, you know, it didn't matter how it came. You know, I think a lot of us really, you know, were touched by mortality, were touched by, you know, sickness. And I think what that does, and I've always thought that this was such a gift because, again, it was like, it's funny, I'm seeing all of these connections to my spiritual awakening in 2021. You know, one of the gifts of, you know, my spiritual awakening when my brother was sick, and you know, he's stable and well now, but at the time we really didn't know. He had two life-saving operations in Boston, actually. And one of the gifts of that, you know, question of mortality or that worry of mortality, I believe, is that it is a great prioritizer and it helps you get really clear on what do I want to do with this one wild and precious life I'm given, right? You know, and we both believe in past lives and other, but it doesn't matter if you believe in, you know, all that other stuff. It's like, we're here now. Like this is our earth incarnation. And like, we're here for this experience. And what do I want to do with this experience? And what do I want to do with the time I have? And how do I want to spend it? And so I think that's been a big lesson of 2021 for me, is really, I want to be a really conscious curator of my days and my energy. And I want to, when I think of how I'm spending my time, how does that impact? And it's so interesting because, you know, on some days that means like kind of what you were saying, like throwing myself into work, right? Like I'm doing like a guided spiritual awakening journal right now. And I find such great purpose and like lit up by that because of, you know, obviously my own path and how much I would have loved that during the day, that time. And at the same time, you know, I'm super stoked for, you know, our trip to the Bahamas. And I was so excited to go to Miami. And I've made a point of visiting like each of my girlfriends that have moved away, because I also realized that nothing is more important than people, and nothing is more important than the people you love. And at the end of the day, the grief that you will feel perhaps one day from not being able to pick up that phone and call that human, from not being able to hop on a Zoom with that human, or not even having the blessing of spending the money to get on a flight to see that human, like, you're not going to get that from work, right? And, you know, both of us, you know, my Capricorn moon, my Capricorn Venus, your Capricorn, you know, queen over there. I mean, I can work till the cows come home. I love my work, you know, but that was something that was really like opening to me and something that I've definitely consciously it's brought into like, you know, it's not even been from a conscious, like, oh, I need to do like work-life balance because I don't really believe in that. It's just been more of like, yeah, no, that gets to be on the calendar. And it's important that I put those things on the calendar and I make the effort to make that stuff a priority because it's just as much, if not more important than all the other, you know, work stuff I do as well. And also, you know, that fills up my cup in a different way as well. You know, there's like different ways that we fill ourselves up.
So good. I'm in total agreement with you of our dharma and our purpose and that filling up one of our cups, but then our friendships and our relationships and nothing else can fill that cup up too, and having that balance. And I think too, what we're also looking forward to in 2022 is more in-person time. And I know for me, I'm like literally like, oh, there's a retreat here. I don't even know who's facilitating it. I'm there. Like we are all so hungry for just like connection and diving deep and eye contact. I can't wait. I'm in the works of planning different in-person like festivals and retreats and stuff, and I can't wait for that. I know this episode is good, but so is this sponsor. So my words for 2021 are rest, relaxation, and receiving. And I am supporting this with Organifi Gold Chocolate, which is the best thing I've ever put into my mouth. And it really is so helpful because for me at night, I really crave chocolate. And instead of eating a bunch of chocolate and feeling like crap in the morning, this actually supports me with my sleep. It has ingredients including turmeric, ginger, reishi mushroom, turkey tail mushroom, and lemon balm with less than 1 gram of sugar per serving. It's 100% USDA organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, all the good stuff. And it literally tastes like heaven. I swear, try some with some hot almond milk and you are in for a treat. If you're ready to get your hands on some of your own, head over to Organifi.com and use coupon code Sahara for 20% off. That's Organifi.com, Organifi.com with coupon code Sahara for 20% off. On the topic of death, yeah, this has really been one on my mind too. I remember in our last year's overlooking 2020, we kind of ended the conversation about death. So I don't want to like fully take us there because it's a long, never-ending rabbit hole. But for me, a lot of what had came up was fear around parents dying for me, specifically for my dad. And, you know, my dad is not sick per se, but he does have like poor health in terms of like diabetes, high blood pressure, kidney stones, kind of like all of the first world, like when you eat unhealthy issues that can later turn into heart disease, et cetera. And heart disease is how his father passed away. So for me, what was like really showing up was like this fear of like, what if he dies? And like, that's it. And like, we didn't have a better relationship. We didn't have the relationship that I wanted. Like, I don't even remember, like, have we even really dropped in like ever, and all of that showing up for me. And I actually got to visit him twice this year. And both times were like definitely stepping on, like the first time there was still definitely some of like my child getting like annoyed with him or like angry or like, why don't you take care of your health and coming at it with that. But the second time I really came at it of, let me just be interested in him as a human. And how does he spend his days? Like, I've never even seen his office. Like, what does he do all day in that office? And like really just getting to know who is this human, not as my dad, but as a human. And like really kind of like biting my tongue when it came to me like, hey, you shouldn't drink Coke or you shouldn't do this. It's like, he knows, but that's his choice. And I can't, sometimes when you love someone, you're like, but I want you to be healthy because I want you to live longer and I want you to live better years in your life. But if that person doesn't want it, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is just love someone and not even love them to change it, because even that's manipulation. Just love and accept, because you genuinely don't know how long you have. And, you know, it's a bit, you know, it was sad doing this, but while I was with him, I asked him about his life story and I recorded the conversation. And as I was in his office, I took videos because I was like, I don't know if I'll see him again. And like that awareness had never come into my mind before this year. And again, I hope he lives 10, 20 more years. He's in his 70s right now, but I feel like it was a level of maturity of you genuinely don't know. So like, don't hold on to any grudges, just accept them as they are, because all of us are going to die. And what was interesting too, it was almost like I had more fear around him dying than my own death. Like if I have no fear around me dying, I'm like curious, like what comes next? Like, which of the stories are real? And then I made me realize he probably feels that same way about his death. So like, we're so afraid of other people dying, but like, really, if we came at it with the same as us dying of like, well, there's nothing I can do, it's just divine, we become so much more free.
Oh my God. I have done such a deep dive this year into all things afterlife and, and it's so true. It's so true. And that was one of the, you know, I was meditating when my grandma transitioned and just holding space for her. And one of the downloads that came through was, you know, her voice saying like, oh, Cass, it's so beautiful. It's more beautiful than we even imagined. And just this feeling of like, I had this, one of the gifts she gave me on my birthday this year was I was in this really deep meditation. And I was kind of, I've been talking to her since she passed, and I was being a little sassy with her, being like, grandma, you know, it's my birthday, just because you're not on earth, I still expect some gifts, you know? And boy, you know, she knew me better than anyone. And she knew exactly, well, first of all, she definitely gave me the gift of my book. And then that, because on my birthday, I got an email where they were like, yeah, we're moving forward. Let's get it. So I was like, thanks, grandma. You know, she's Capricorn. And then also during meditation that day, I literally felt like I plugged into divine source energy and had this like electrifying experience where like I was hysterically crying, but it wasn't like tears. It was like my whole body was overflowing with divine love. And it just like almost couldn't contain the vibration. It was so high. And then I saw like my grandma kind of like holding my hand, touching this like sun-like beam or whatever. And I had been fascinated after her passing with different, near-death experiences, right? Where people report like going into the afterlife and what that was like. And there's all different beautiful examples, but one of the culminating things is this feeling of just full acceptance and overwhelming love and so much like divine peace and all of that. And I now believe, I mean, I always believed, but now I feel like more palpably and like tangibly believe more than ever that that is. And it's so, I feel the same way. I'm like, I know that like, when like my time comes, like, I know like the next adventure is going to be pretty cool too. But the hardest part is I feel like being here when someone else is off on that adventure that you really love and processing, you know, for our human brain and even for, you know, myself being someone that's so spiritual and believes in all of this and is talking, you know, and asking for signs and doing all the things, it's still really hard. And so I think that that's great what you did. And I hope more people do that. You know, one of the things I asked my grandma a ton of questions throughout my whole life as we were very, very close. But one of the stupid things that I didn't do that right before her birthday is New Year's Eve, right? And so I sent her Christmas gifts and then I sent her birthday gifts like right after or whatnot. And I had gotten her, she loved puzzles, and I had gotten her a bunch of puzzles. And then I had gotten her this like shirt that I got. It was like a silly, like Mighty Ducks shirt. It was like an inside joke thing. And then the other thing I got her like the new Kindle or whatever for Christmas. So that was just like sent. And then the other stuff I had to like pack and send. And I also collected, every time I traveled anywhere, I would get a magnet for her. So I would collect magnets and I would send it to her in like when I had like a little batch. So I had collected that. And then I had sent her a little necklace. I had sent her a necklace for her birthday, just ordered it online. But I was too busy. I was too busy that week to send the puzzles and my little inside joke shirt. And in my head, I was like, it's like, it's not a big deal. I'll send it, you know, I'll send it after New Year's when it's like a little crazy and she won't care, you know, she's chill, you know. And January 4th, she was in the hospital and I never got to see her again, you know? And it's just like, can happen like that. And to me, that was just like, you know, it's a stupid little thing and I don't like beat myself up about it, but it was a lesson for sure. That like, don't take shit for granted. Like, don't take for granted that there'll be another time. You know, how many times do we say like, oh, you know, I'll call you next week or I'll see you next week. And I'm so much more attuned to that now, right? Like in a way where it's like, no, just if you can do the thing now, just do the thing now. Don't like take tomorrow for granted. And don't, you know, like ask those questions, whatever you want to know about your parents or your grandparents or your friends or whoever it is, you know, it's like, don't take any of it for granted and let people know how you feel about them, you know, and create time for people. I think that's, you know, you think about that, like at the end of your days, if we're going to go there, right. And you're on your deathbed, you know, whenever that may be, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about the people, right? You're not going to be like, I sent that email 2 days late, right? You're going to be like, oh, I remember that. I'll never forget, you know, the week before my grandma passed, I didn't send her puzzles. Right. And again, it's like not in like a way of wearing that as like a burden, but it's like we think about those things way more than we think about, oh, I was supposed to send this brand like a video and I sent it to them a week late. You know, I'm never going to remember that. Right. So, yeah, I think it just puts things into perspective. And it's also really good, I think, you know, in putting into perspective what you want to do with your life, like we said. You know, and joy, Miss, you know, you're the ambassador of joy over here. I think it's also a big reminder, and our joy is so important, you know, and doing the things that lights us up. Like, I think about that, this is, you know, from a kind of like out there perspective maybe, but if we think about it, like how precious this incarnation was that we got chosen to come in at this time. And you think about, you know, how as wondrous as the spirit world is and how we'll be like in full divine love and peace and whatnot. It's like there are tangible things in this earth reality, right? That are unique to this reality that we get to experience. And some of those things are like gardening or baking bread or painting or hugging a friend or playing with your dog, right? And like those moments matter.
So many things in full agreement with you. And I think for so many of us, death has been a huge topic on our mind the past 2 years. And it's interesting because I don't know if you watched the new Sex and the City and Just Like That show. Did you watch that?
Watched it yet, but I know the spoiler because it's everywhere.
Okay, it's everywhere, but I'm just going to share it. You can hit pause right now if you don't want to hear it, but Big dies. And it was so interesting because it was almost like, I'm just using this as an analogy that like Sex and the City is maybe the epitome of like, just like having fun and being carefree and like living the high life. And like, that's what the show represented for decades, right? It was like the kind of show you would just like zone out to and be like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And it's so interesting that like 20 years later, when they finally come back, they come with this new tone, this tone of 2021 of like, and death happens. And just like that, your life radically shifts in 1 second. And honestly, I get chills even talking about it because it's true. It's like, and it really like that show, I mean, it hit me in an interesting way because I grew up really watching Sex and the City and like, I wish I could live lives like them. And then to see them like having aged and feeling irrelevant and, you know, having health issues, and it really shows that like this lifetime is like, you know, you're walking up to center stage and it's like, you know, your childhood years, you're like going up the stairs and then you're finally walking up and you have this moment on the stage. And then your life is walking off of the stage and you're walking off and off and walking off until just like that, you're in backstage again. And how right now in this moment, we're in center stage. Like this is our right now. We're in our Sex and the City moment. We're in our moment of like highest energy and highest creativity. Are we using it? And to me, a reminder that, again, yeah, don't wait. Don't wait another year. Don't wait until I have the security, until I have this. Because guess what? One day you're going to wake up and you're not going to have the same momentum and energy and ability to really focus on these things or travel to the places that you want to travel, or even like friendships. You know, I've seen so many people, they're like, I wish I kept up with my friendships, because right now when I could really use a friend, I don't even have anyone to call. And to really let this moment, and most people listening to this podcast are in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, like you're super in your center stage moment. Do your ballet, bring out your canvas, get messy and let it be vibrant. Let it be unique. And don't waste any more time thinking about what other people think about you. A huge lesson for me this year was like letting go of my inner people pleaser. And I did not know how active and alive that bitch was, you know, like I was like, me people pleaser. No, I'm not like, but I realized it came in the subtle forms of like, me getting a hater comment and like, what did I do wrong? Why doesn't this person like me? Like some, like trying to go back and think, how can I change, rather than like, oh, this person is probably mentally ill to even write that to a stranger, or like book reviews, podcast reviews, et cetera. And like taking it to heart. And I think, you know, last year it was the big scary monster of cancel culture. And like, that was, yeah, you know, center stage. And I feel like a lot of us have learned lessons now this year of like, don't follow whatever the mob is saying. Like, people who cancel someone else are probably going to come after you one day. This is a modern day witch hunt. But please, for anyone listening to this, don't let your energy at all be focused on how can I get people to like me? How do I not seem like a spiritual freak to other people? Well, I can't share who I really am because they knew me back in college and they're going to say I'm a fraud. And just, and the number one regret of the death and dying in the book, where she was a nurse at an elderly home and she saw thousands of people die. And the number one regret was, I wish I had the courage to live true to who I am. And again, we can hear that again and again and again, but it just takes a moment and a realization to see all of the microwaves that we are not living in true harmony with who we are, and to let 2022 be that year that like you're at the end of the year thinking, I'm so glad I didn't bring that people pleasing with me this year.
Oh yeah. Oh, I think that's so huge and especially important as you're like looking into 2022 and thinking, okay, well, what do I want to create in this upcoming year? How do I want things to shift? What do I want, you know, to be different? Is how people pleasing, I also, that was a big lesson for me this year, and how it manifested for me was a little bit different. It was more in just like doing things sometimes is like a reflex to what I felt other people needed, right? Instead of checking in with myself and be like, okay, yeah, so maybe these people, like, I think these people need this, or they want this, or they're emailing asking me to do this thing, right? Launch this course, do this thing, right? And so doing it because I feel like, oh, well, that's, you know, people are asking me to do this, what I should do. And instead of like checking in with myself and being like, is that really going to bring me joy? Is that what I feel is like the next frontier for me? Is that where I feel like I'm going? Because our paths are so unique. And so there's always going to be people. It's the boiling pot of crabs analogy, where if you put a pot of crabs on the stove in like a big boiler pot, as you would, and you slowly turn the heat up, there will be some of the crabs that will try to climb up the pot and escape. And the crazy thing is that the crabs that are staying in and being boiled will yank them down and pull them back into the boiling water, right? And I feel like that's like an example of what happens sometimes is when you're on your like growth evolutionary path, you're doing your thing. There are going to be people that are going to try to like grab you down and pull you back to the person that you were. Right. And so it's kind of a, you know, natural occurrence, I guess you should say, right? That's kind of like how things will take. So don't be surprised if you're on your next, like, if you're like, I'm on the next leg of my journey, like this is the new thing I'm doing right now, or this is my latest priority or whatever it is. If you have other people around your environment that are trying to kind of pull you back to like the you of yesteryear, and just know that in those moments, that's when it really requires us to be a stand for our joy, to be a stand for our intuition, to trust, you know, our path. And I think that's been, I had a big aha this year that I've had in multiple times. It might be interesting because so many of your listeners are very spiritual, where sometimes I would actually I would worry about people pleasing like my intuition or people pleasing the divine. And so I would almost create shoulds around like, oh, well, I should do that because I feel like that if this is happening, then maybe my intuition is telling me this. And so I should, I'd be like micromanaging, trying to figure that out. And
what's like an example of that?
So for instance, it's like, should I launch this or should I not launch this? We can use that example, or even, you know, actually I'll use an even more personal example, having a baby. So it was like, okay, so should I, or shouldn't I, or when should I do this or whatever, the whole thing. But you can also use this for a launch. You can use this for anything. I had both with the launch and the thought of that. And very typical. And so there was like this intuitive thing of like, okay, I'm trying to decipher like, well, maybe this is what I should do, right? Maybe this is like what the next, you know, what the next step is, and then looking for the signs and then meditating on it and then all this stuff. And then it hit me one day after a meditation, actually, you just get to choose what you want. And that's what you're like, that is the next intuitive step, which is so simple, right? Which is so simple, actually. But, you know, I don't know, that was just a trap, I guess. I got all caught up on my over-spiritualized journey where I was like trying to tap into like, what's the sign? Or is my intuition telling me one thing? Or am I being as directed? And, you know, at the end of the day, I was like, oh no, actually, if I just tune in and ask myself, what do I really want? That is the answer, because my desires and how that my desires run through me are divine, which is what I teach. And so if I don't have a desire to launch that course in that moment, that is divine intuition that I'm not meant to launch that course in my moment. And if I don't have the desire in that moment to have a baby in that moment, then that is also, you know, the divine design that I don't. And for both of those things, for me, it's like, it's in the key words are like in this moment, right? And so for me, it's like, okay, I will probably eventually launch whatever the course was maybe, and I will eventually probably have a kid, and I don't have to micromanage those things because like society or anybody else is trying to tell me that I either need to launch something or I should have a game plan for when I'm going to try to get pregnant or anything like that. I can actually just wait until that desire naturally evokes in me and then trust that that's it. So yeah, that was a big interesting thing for me about how I actually was like, my people pleasing was kind of getting muddied up in there.
I love that. And I've totally experienced that exact same thing. And it's almost like a learning lesson that I've had, especially doing this podcast over the past few years. It's not like the universe has like this very specific plan that it's like trying to send you signals. Like, no, you're supposed to follow this plan. It's not what you want. It's not what your heart wants, but it's what I want. So your job is to like find my signs. Like, that's not how it works. But like, we read these books and we think, and we're like, fuck, like, where is the path? Like, is it that eagle over there? Is it the 1111? Like, where is it? But it's like, it's in your heart. Like, if the universe really wanted you to do something, you are the universe. It's your heart. It's your intuition, and you have free will.
Well, you know, I actually love this because both of us have husbands or fiance or whatever that are, you know, they're open to spiritual concepts, but they're, you know, very like earthy. And I went to a psychic or whatever I don't know, at some point during the year, it was like a thing, like a friend like set me up with or whatever. And the psychic told me to do some things, right? That I like really didn't want to do. I was like, this, whatever. So I went home and I'm telling him, like, you know, I'm said this and this and that. And he was like, well, what do you feel about it? And I'm like, oh, I kind of hated him. I'm scared. Like, do I have to do that? And he was like, no, you don't have to do that. Like, what, why would you do something that,
that the psychic said?
The psychic said that, you know, this is my soul's most expansive path, and I gotta do. And he was like, well, don't you think if it was your soul's most expansive path, that there would be like, because like there's a difference between like really wanting something and being scared of the pursuit of it, and like just not wanting to do the thing.
Totally. I got this palm reading session recently because I just saw a palm reader on TikTok. I'm like, you know what? I have not done that before. So let me send a picture of my palm for like $170 and see what's in store for me. Oh, like some of the things he's like, you're intelligent. I'm like, yes, bing on. And then it's like, you're going to have an affair if not you've had one. I'm like, no, but it's like, imagine if you were an impressionable person and you're like, fuck, the palm reader said I'm going to have an affair. So I guess it's time for it to go down. I can't let the palm reader down. Like the universe sent them to me. And like, those are the ways that like, we totally give up our power. And that's not what actual spirituality is. Like we think in the old paradigm of spirituality are psychics and palm readers and just your tarot card. And I think, yeah, there probably are. And I know there are some great intuitives, tarot card readers, et cetera, but it's about listening to your own heart. And the huge lesson I've had is like, whatever story you tell is going to be true for you. Like you can tell whatever story you want, spiritual stories, your mindset stories, everything. And that will be true. Like, in fact, this year I feel less certain about everything spiritually than ever before, because I'm more open to like, and that might be true for you. And that might, and I don't know, because what's true for me is constantly evolving. Like, for example, one question I had was like, does everything happen for a reason, or does it happen and we give it a reason? Because like, you know, there are some things that happened this year that I definitely didn't want to happen. And like, yeah, I could definitely find lessons that I've learned from it, but it's definitely still not what I wanted to happen. So it's like, well, then was that meant to happen? I should have just gone with it, even though my heart didn't want it. Or is it like things happen in life and it's up to what you take of it? And again, I think it's circumstantial, but above that all is, if you say it's true for you, that's what's going to show up, because this world really is a hologram and it really is a mirror. So as your beliefs shift, then your reality and response to those beliefs shift as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that was actually a really prevalent theme just with the final eclipse season of 2021, was when we had that Sag eclipse and Sag and Mercury kind of like tying a bow on the end of this year. Perfectly that you brought that up, was allowing us to say, hey, look back on the past year. It was actually 18 months. Look back on the past 18 months and decide what's the story you're going to tell. What's the meaning that you're going to make of this in a way that empowers your next evolution, in a way that empowers you moving forward? And I think that that is such a powerful, in life, there are going to be things that happen. And in a way, it's like, it almost doesn't matter if it was meant to be or not meant to be, because it happened, right? So it's like, okay, it happened. And so the first step is like acceptance, whatever's going down is going down. And then from that moment, trusting again, that you're well-resourced enough to make the next right move, right? And I really believe more than ever that life is a choose your own adventure game. And this year, I do think so many of us saw like splitting timelines. Right. And so what that means is not like, I think when sometimes I use those languaging, people think that like you see like an elevator of light in the sky or something like that. And no, what it really is you just kind of see like different paths your life could take. Right. And I think a lot of us had many moments this year of being like, we had certain things come up or certain choices or whatnot, where it was like, okay, here's one of those moments. Right. where I could go this way and life will go this way, or I could go this way and life will go this way, right? And that choice is going to change on some level my life. But fundamentally, I can't make a wrong choice because there is no wrong choice. There's just different choices. And it's just, what do you want to do with this precious incarnation? And how do you, what's the adventure that you choose to go on? I've been for years, because my brother grew up playing video games and I was forced to play video games with him when it was like his turn to pick the activity. I was like, you know, forget about even the Matrix. Like, life is like one of those video games where, like, I remember playing Zelda with my brother and you'd go into some like magical fairy forest or whatever. And it'd be like, you're in the magical fairy forest. Go to the left to the blue lagoon and navigate this, or head to the right to the purple pansy forest or whatever, right? And that's life, right? And in those moments, like, that's where we have to trust our heart. We have to trust our desires. And we also just have to, whatever we do, we do. And we make it mean the most empowering thing possible.
I love that so much. Yeah, it's like, stop waiting for a sign and just choose your direction.
And oftentimes the fastest thing, you know, one of my clients this year, and this, I have a lot of clients that kind of are, you know, becoming different kinds of coaches and stuff like that, right? And they always go through that phase of like, I don't know exactly what kind of coach I should be or what my specialty or niche or whatever. And it's just such a perfect example of that, where I'm always just like, it doesn't matter. Pick one and wing it. Because either you'll pick one, you'll wing it, you'll love it, it'll go well, or you'll pick one, you'll wing it, you discover you don't like it, it won't go well, and great, you'll be that much closer to picking the one that you do want, right? And that decision will inform. And it's, you know, sometimes just taking action is the best way to get clarity. And so, you know, sometimes we take action, we're like, okay, yeah, that wasn't, maybe that wasn't like, actually, I'm not really liking the purple pansy forest right now. Well, great. That's great information. And maybe you needed to take that action so that you could say, you know what, I really do want to go to that other, whatever the blue lagoon is or whatnot, right? And, but now I know what this is, right? And that's actually a great place to be. It's like thinking of, you know, I think of all the different kinds of guys I dated before I met my fiance, right? And it's like, it was so helpful in discerning what I wanted, even the ones that were like awful or whatever, just not fun. And so, yeah, so I think it's, you know, Viktor Frankl wrote that book, Man's Search for Meaning, I think a really important book and a great book for this year and reflecting on. I think that's a great practice for anyone listening. If you haven't already done it with the Sag eclipse, is, you know, write down some of the big things that happened this year, some of the landmark events for you that just, you don't have to like, this shouldn't be like a thing we have to like scratch your brain, just like whatever's top of mind or the most important events, and ask yourself, what is the meaning I'm going to make about that? What's the story I'm going to tell about that and how that takes me to the next step forward? You know, I think that's where, you know, we create our reality, and there is some power in saying, you know, there's like some spiritual schools of thought that will say, like, let's say you have a test, right? I don't personally believe in tests, but like, if you decide that, like, okay, this, I was tempted by this guy that was not the guy that's in alignment with the ultimate partner I want. And I saw it and I said no to him. I said, no, thank you, because I'm in alignment with the partner I want. Right now, I may not necessarily believe that the universe works that way, that the universe is out there trying to test you or anything like that. But that could be a really empowering story to choose, because what you're saying is, me rejecting that guy, the meaning I'm going to attach to that is, I'm worthy, I'm ready, I know what I want. And isn't that like a rocket launch meaning, right? To be able to give that instance. Whereas, you know, someone else looking at that could be like, oh, I'm going to make this mean that I'm attracting the wrong guy again. Completely disempowering meaning that leads you in the wrong direction.
So true. There's infinite numbers of stories we can share. And as long as it's empowering us, like, go for it. I mean, that's basically what every religion is. It's like, if it's working for you, it's bringing you joy, like, keep doing it. Just don't do a crusade on someone and we're good.
Yeah. You know? Don't harm anyone.
You know, I think that, yeah, like for some people, the universe is testing me. Did I pass the test? That feels empowering for them. For me, that's like, it just doesn't feel accurate. That why would the universe be testing me? Like, is it like, haha, bitch, I'm gonna get you. Like, got ya. Like, sent you the wrong dude. You fell for this one. You ain't good enough. Like, that doesn't feel alignment for me. For me, it just feels, honestly, it has to do with free will. I really believe that sometimes what happens in when we go on a spiritual journey, we're like, everything is connected. And where is my destiny going? And like, it must be a sign. And like, we're people who go into spirituality are master storytellers. We really are, myself, yourself included. And I think that what happens sometimes is like we forget that we have free will in any single moment. And the beauty of that free will is like you can't fuck it up, because no matter which, as long as you are getting that feedback and you're getting that, you know, like, oh, I tried to become a health coach. Oh, I realized I didn't want to just talk about nutrition. I'm wanting to go deeper with people. Now I'm wanting to become a life coach. Okay, I did life coaching. I'm now getting the feedback. I want to write a book. You wouldn't learn without that feedback. It's like we, and I think one of the faults of our more millennial society is like we have seen success at such a young age, like people being successful, like 24-year-old millionaire travel bloggers, et cetera, that were like, I don't want to waste any time. I don't want to like sign up for a thing and it not be the thing. So like, I need to wait until I make the move. That's like the thing for me. And that's it. And like, that's not the way that life works. And that's not the way that anyone who you might be looking at has gone into where they are and is continuing to go. It's through that playing ping pong and dominoes and like going this way and that way. And like, that's how you get that refinement that it really takes. So trusting that as long as you are in momentum, as long as you are taking action, and there is an element of intuition and stillness that is needed in that as well. Like, for example, I'll share, I'm very interested in sexuality and womb work and all of these things. And this past year I did this like womb apprenticeship. And this year I wanted to sign up for this other like year long course. But when I really tuned into how do I want to spend my free time? Like, I don't have infinite free time. I have a lot of work. So in that free time, do I want to be spending it like watching more videos and learning more things? Or do I want to be spending it dancing? And I realized I actually want to be spending it dancing, to be honest, because that's what's actually going to bring me the more joy. But it was in my mind thinking I always need to be like taking a course and like going in, and that served me for a period of time. But it's like where I am right now and what my priorities right now are, like my work and play. That's what I want to do. So I think that beauty in that taking a pause, coming into alignment and taking action, where so many people are just stagnant. They're not coming into alignment and they're not taking action, or they're waiting for like God to come through and be like, you should sign up for this course. Goodbye. Like, this is not what's going to happen. It's like, God doesn't care. God wants you to be living your fullest truths and you can do it however you want.
Absolutely. And the God coming through is your inclination, is your interest in it, right? If it sparks some joy in you and you're like, oh, wow, that course sounds fun. That course feels good. That is your message from God being like, take the course, right? And it is like, it's in that moment, you know, also having that discernment of like, okay, if I think about this choice in a vacuum and I take out any shoulds of what I should be doing with my time or what I should be investing in or whatever, and I just get back to my heart and my soul and ask, okay, well, what do I like spending my free time doing? And at every stage in your life, it's going to be a different answer, right? So it's just continually checking in and then honoring that and trusting again, like you couldn't make a wrong choice. Right. If you're taking that moment to get into alignment and then just check in and be like, no, like that's, you know, and I think about that, even if you look back and you're like, wow, I chose to spend that time dancing instead of taking that course. Right. And maybe a year later, you're like, I want to take that course. Right. It would make no sense to look back and be like, well, I regret that I didn't just take this a year ago, because a year ago, it's not what you wanted. A year ago, you wanted to dance, right? And so you gave yourself what you wanted a year ago, and that was necessary. And then now you're doing that thing because now it's the time for it, right? And so just honoring that. And it's like, you know, a lot of stay-at-home moms, and they're like home with their kids, you know, early, and then they get back into the workforce. They're trying to start a business, you know, after their kids are a little bit older. They'll have like mixed feelings about that. Like, oh, I missed out on all these years. I'm like, you didn't miss out on anything. Like, you chose to spend those years like with your children, right? You chose to spend those years, you know, in that way and making that your priority. And that was what your heart desired in those moments, right? And now you get to choose again and be like, okay, my children are a little bit older, so now I get to do this, right? And we get to just honor the choices that we made. I think that's such a beautiful part of the spiritual journey too, that I've worked on this year a lot in some of my deep healing work that I've been doing, is going back to like decisions I made when I was much, much younger, like when I was like 10 and 13 and 15, and like these little decisions I made along the way that on some level I could have judged, right? Like, oh, I should have done that when I was 15. Why didn't I just do that? Like, that would have made my life easier now. I'd be even more successful now or whatever, right? But it's like, no, I have to have love for like my 13-year-old self that did what she thought was best for her in that moment. That's what she was needed. Who am I to say that that wasn't the right thing?
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And yeah, I've been like looking at even like older pictures of myself, and we really shift even in how we look. So we're like, we're the same soul, but like a totally different version of it in those stages of my life, that in some place I look at myself, I'm like, wow, it's like almost like unrecognizable. So it's like, how are we, like, we weren't there, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, like that person was there and that person was making the decisions. And like 5 years from now, we're going to look back at this video and be like, oh my goddess, we're so cute. We're such cute little munchkins. We didn't know about the meta universe coming. There was the second iteration, you know.
Before I became half a robot.
Exactly. Now we are full-time avatars. And oh, we thought it was so fun to be human. Like, who knows? Maybe we'll just be off-grid. Like, remember when we had internet?
Cool. That'll be either direction. We'll either be like living in a forest, like off like the coast of whatever, or with their own little civilization.
Like, we had it so easy. We didn't have to farm for all of our food for 4 hours a day. You know, we had lights. But that's the beauty.
Or we'll be leading the brigade in the Matrix.
Exactly. Who knows? I could have never predicted the way my life would be today 5 years ago. So it's such a beauty to just like, yeah, to just be in the moment. And I think too, what the quarantine and pandemic, whatever it's even called at this point, has done is we don't plan too far ahead anymore. Like before, yeah, everyone would be like, okay, what's like mapping out the whole year and the strategy, Q1, Q4. No one's doing that anymore because we're like, meh, who knows? Like, there's no point in putting anything on the calendar because it just might change. And there's a beauty in this collective living in the present moment.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great place to kind of wrap up as people are thinking about when they move into 2022 and wrapping up their year of 2021. I think the biggest questions to ask is not necessarily what you want to do in 2022, but who do you want to be? How do you want to show up as? What are you committed to experiencing in your, you know, vibration and emotional life and how you approach every day, right? Instead of it being like, oh, I need to like check these milestones off, you know, this list, like so many of us do every year. It's like, okay, well, if I end up showing up as my highest self, if I end up doing those things that get me into alignment, if I end up prioritizing my joy, if I end up prioritizing my purpose and, you know, my relationships, right? Those things, if they're in your highest good, will naturally happen, and often faster than you could have if you were just trying to work at it like a little worker bee, right? Because when you're in alignment with all of that stuff, then you will just end up putting in the time. You will just end up wanting to do that. You'll make the highest decisions because you're prioritizing that.
Mm, so good. So true. Wow. So many lessons learned.
No,
we could talk about this forever, but Thank you so much for being here today, for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your gifts, for being part of this conversation. And where can listeners connect with you further?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Cassandra Bodzak, Facebook Cassandra Bodzak, YouTube, same thing. My book is Manifesting Through Meditation. You know, if you have any spiritual girlfriends in your life, mine and Zahara's book, so I think would be a great like jam-packed little gift for them. They can discover their dharma and then manifest it through meditation.
Right? What more could you want?
I mean, what more could you want in 2022?
Little stocking
stuffers. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much for having me on. I love doing this. And I think it is, you know, I think it's such a great practice. You know, thank you guys who are listening for doing it with us. And we encourage you to start up this conversation in your friendships as well, to just have a conversation about what did we learn this year? Like, what are our lessons before going into 2022? It's a really beautiful way to close out the year.
Thank you again for being here with us today. So many lessons. We could keep going forever. I'm sure you have so many lessons too. So share with me on Instagram. Write a post of your greatest lessons of 2021. Tag me in the caption so I can read it, so I can learn from your lessons and share them with the community. We have so much wisdom collectively that we get to disperse. That is what we used to do when we lived in tribes. People would share their lessons around the fire. And that is how the elders would pass along that wisdom, that nuance that only really time gives you to the younger generation. And that's how they cultivated greater growth. So let us sit around the figurative fire and share our lessons. And I'm also super excited that I am planning an in-person retreat for the Rose Gold Goddess community. And doors are going to be opening back up at the end of January. So if you want to spend a full day diving deep into spirituality, embodying your highest self, shamanic rituals, practices, ecstatic dance, twerking, all of it, then this is your chance. And also to be part of an annual community where every single month we're diving into a new spiritual topic. We have teachers like Cassandra, Shaman Axel, and so many others teaching us very significant and deep spiritual workshops that totally transform your life, from human design to activating your wild woman to rituals to plan the rest of your year and so much more. So head over to rosegoldgoddesses.com. That link is in my show notes, rosegoldgoddesses.com, to join the waitlist for when doors open at the end of January. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Namaste.